Hello and welcome back to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris and welcome to episode 13. On this episode, we're going to talk all about the king of permaculture, I believe is what late Toby Hemingway called it when in Paul Wheaton's video, Why Permaculture Folks Love Comfrey. He calls it the king of permaculture. So we're going to delve in a little bit about comfrey. I'm not going to take the full 20 minutes this time because I also made a 13-minute video on dividing and planting comfrey here at the Haven Homestead. So I will leave a link in the show notes to that and also tell you where you can find that. We'll get into the topic at hand. And don't forget, you can find all this stuff at havenhomestead.com. Where I'm going to first be reading is actually out from our website. Lindsay made a blog article on this, and the blog article is entitled Plant Profile, Comfrey Can Do. So I'll read some of that, and then I'll also be reading out of Gaia's Garden and also out of The Green Pharmacy. Gaia's Garden is by Toby Hemingway, and The Green Pharmacy is by James A. Duke. So, we'll learn about it together here. So, all right. Comfrey is probably one of the most talked about plants. This is Lindsay's article. In permaculture plant forms, and no wonder, this prolific plant is stout, easy to propagate, and very useful. This little dandy is sometimes called knit bone because it is commonly used as a poultice to help heal broken bones. How cool is that? So if I didn't read that part, then she'd be thinking, well, how come you didn't have that part? Or somebody might be reading it thinking, he should read it all if he's going to read any of it. In fact, since so much has been said, I won't say too much by myself, but I would like to point you to a couple of awesome resources on the matter. First, there's Paul Wheaton's video, Why Permaculture Folks Love Comfrey. There's a link there so you can link straight to the video on YouTube. It's a 10-minute video where some permaculture experts talk about the awesomeness of this beneficial plant. Toby Hemingway, author of Gaia's Garden, even calls comfrey the king of permaculture. If you are even a little bit curious about comfrey, I would check it out. She goes on to say, secondly, I am going to point you in the directions of Plant for a Future database. That's PFAF. They are a nonprofit research organization dedicated to researching and providing information on ecologically sustainable horticulture. They have been compiling a database for more than a decade. That database currently has more than 7,000 different species of plants. They are awesome. PFAF lists 5 different species of comfrey, edible, medicinal, and other uses for the plant, growing conditions, propagation techniques, and more. Here are some highlights from the PFAF entry on Symphytum officinale, or common comfrey. So that's the comfrey that most people. Here are some highlights. Comfrey likes to grow in damp, often shady localities, in meadows, woods, etc., especially near streams and rivers. USDA hardiness zone 3 through 9, so it has a very broad growing hardiness. Suitable for nearly any kind of soil, it's most commonly used for the external treatment of cuts, bruises, sprains, sores, eczema, varicose veins, broken bones, as it contains a substance called allantoin, a cell proliferant that speeds up the healing process. Its roots and dried leaves are dried and used for tea, or are roasted and ground to be used with chicory and dandelion to make a coffee substitute. And finally, comfrey's nutrient-rich leaves make an excellent plant food as a green mulch, or soaked in water as a compost tea. For more on this highly beneficial plant, including toxicity information, check out the database at www.pfaf.org. This is most of the information. Also, as I say on the video, it's also a good bee forage. What isn't in here that I wanted to make sure that I don't forget is that it is a good plant to add to your compost pile because it is considered a compost activator. So you put that in there and it gets all those little bugs working that are going to make your compost rich and delicious for your the rest of your garden. So, in Toby Hemingway's book, in Gaia's Garden, He writes here, and I'll just kind of pick out a couple little things out of there. Comfrey, the quintessential permaculture plant. Comfrey offers a range of uses that is tough to match. Its pink and purple blossoms are certain bait for bees and other beneficial insects, which buzz deep into the tubular flowers in search of pollen and nectar. Used traditionally for wound healing, comfrey was once called knit bone, and research confirms that a root extract speeds recovery from bone injuries. The plant manufactures a substance called allantoin, which promotes wound healing and moisturizes the skin. Poultices of mashed leaves have been used to heal cuts and scrapes. So comfrey is also a dynamic accumulator. It will reach its deep roots down into the soil and pull up nutrients, and then the nutrients are then stored in the leaves. And when you cut the leaves off, you chop the leaves off, you can mulch those on your plants or put them in your compost pile, and it will add those nutrients, those micronutrients, back into the soil, or on the plants, or wherever it is that you put the leaves. And then after you cut it, it is a very vigorous grower, so it'll grow right back. That's not an issue at all. So that's kind of it's really good for a chop and drop, green mulch sort of stuff. It's a very prolific plant in that it grows lots and lots of leaves and is very easy to divide, which is mostly what my video is about. I mentioned the benefits of comfrey, but I also show you how to divide it and plant it. Because it's such a good has such a deep root, a good deep tap root, it's good for breaking up soil and making it so that the soil in that area, nutrients can get down deeper. So it's nice to have around a fruit tree or something would be good, because then you can chop and drop right there around the roots of the foot tree or roots of the fruit tree. He goes on the very last paragraph of Guy's Garden here. He says, "It is the roots that have struck fear of this wonderful plant into a few hearts. Comfrey does not usually set seed. Many varieties are sterile, but it can grow exuberantly from root divisions. A chunk the size of one finger joint is enough to found a new plant. So if a gardener digs or tills into the root system, the plant will spread wherever cuttings land. Power tilling recklessly through a single large plant is enough to sow comfrey successfully and persistently across a surprising expanse of garden. Thus, one caveat about comfrey: don't dig or till close to it. Follow that simple advice will spare any trouble. I had comfrey plants growing in a garden for over a decade," he goes on to say, "cultivating near them occasionally, but not too near, and they did not spread. When I wanted to eliminate a plant, sheet mulch did the job. There is, however, one other way besides tilling that can cause comfrey to migrate around a yard. In a friend's garden, comfrey would periodically emerge in a few spots, even though she was careful not to dig near the established plants. Curious enough to investigate, she dug up a tiny comfrey shoot that had just appeared in virgin territory. Beneath it was a gopher den, holding a stash of sprouting comfrey roots and carrots laid out in a neat row, the gopher's winter larder. But wise to comfrey's many uses, my friend felt this rodent propelled propagation was a modest price to pay for the plant's favors." That's Guy's Garden has to weigh in about comfrey. And then in the Green Pharmacy, he says here, "This herb contains a compound, allantoin, that helps heal wounds. Its astringent tannic acids may also contribute to wound healing. Comfrey's gotten some bad press recently because it contains chemicals called pyrrolizidine alkaloids. I'm just guessing on that one. I hope I didn't butcher it. Which can damage the liver. Many authorities warn against ingesting it, but there's little, if any, risk to applying comfrey externally. It's still my first line of defense against sores that are slow to heal. To use it, you can take some fresh leaves and rub them directly on your affected area. You can also find commercial skincare products containing comfrey in many health food stores." That's all he has to say about that. Comfrey is a very useful plant, and I think something that every homestead, if you're going to be using plants to heal, it's something that you really need. Also, if you want to do a chop and drop, they won't spread by chopping the leaves and putting them on the ground. That's not going to spread your comfrey just when you dig the roots. because they spread through root division. I was kind of surprised when I did the video at how easy it was to chop through the roots, even right through the main root. It was just, split very easy. And so it's not a difficult thing to divide, is what I'm getting at. And you can propagate it any time of the year and divide it, and it will grow. Mine, I got my first plant when it was right in the middle of the summer, and it was tall and green and everything, and just went out and cut it with a shovel and put it in a plastic bag and brought it home and put it in the ground, and it's done well there. It stayed in the clump. It has maybe a couple shoots. That was 3 years ago or something, and it's got a couple little sprouted plants, which I think were left over from when I divided it and took a chunk into the garden. But it's about 10 inches to a foot away from the main clump, and I believe that's from when I propagated it. That's where the root was, the end of the root that I cut off when I took the roots out, when I took the division out to the garden. And I only did that last year, I believe, and it grew really well, really useful to have that right by the garden, so you can just chop down the leaves and go put them around your root crops, because the roots really like the phosphorus, I believe it is, that the comfrey grows that contains in the leaves. They re really like that. The roots set better and bigger crops when you have extra phosphorus on there. Also, all the rest of your plants after they've grown, so the green makes your leaves grow, and then you put the phosphorus down and it makes it fruit, is my understanding of the way the chemicals work for the plants. So first put down bone meal or something around your plants, and then next, after they start to set some fruit, then put down your comfrey leaves around the top of them, and maybe put a little mulch on top of that or something, just so it'll kind of go into the soil. Or if you want, you could also use your hand or a shovel and just push it in next to it and cover it up, push the leaf in and into the ground, and it will add nutrients to your garden. Now, on the a little bit about the chemicals that are, supposedly harmful. When they did those tests, the amounts of comfrey that they use to do the tests on the lab rats or lab mice is like eating, a 50-pound bunch of comfrey or something for a human's body size. It's just ridiculous. But at the same time, exercise caution. If you want to try it, then I would suggest trying a little bit if you are going to, but just keep in mind that it's your health, and I'm not a doctor, so I can't recommend you try these things, but it's just that they've been found to help other people. And with our comfrey, we also use plantain for if we get stinging nettle. We have a lot of stinging nettle around here. If we get some, we rub some plantain roots on there. Also, comfrey does the same sort of thing. It helps heal and soothe. The plantain better at soothing, and then the comfrey's better at healing. So we use those plants together quite a bit, and the kids can go out and tell you, find a plantain in the grass, no problem, and apply it. It's funny, got a little stinging nettle on me, and the kids run over and find a plantain and leaf and stick it in their mouth and start chewing on it, because that's one way you can get the juices out of the leaf is to chew on it and then put like a spit poultice on. And it's funny, they run right over and grab a leaf of plantain and stick it in their mouth and start chewing on it. And they're gonna stick a slobbery mass on my stinging nettle area. Sometimes they're, oh, no, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'll just get a little bit of this leaf and rub it on there. But they're always willing to help. They're good kids. So the video, I will post a link to it, but it's just on YouTube at Haven Homestead is our name on the YouTube. But I've been having a hard time pulling up on my phone, so I'll try to get that remedied, and I'll add a link so that you can get right to it from both the website and from the show notes. So if you go on to havenhomestead.com, and in the show notes for this episode, you will see the link to the video. But if you're listening to it on something else where you can't really see the show notes, then I'd just point you over to the same thing. Go onto our website, havenhomestead.com, and I'll have the link on there. And before I let you go, I'd also would like to encourage you to head on over to patreon.com That's Patreon, patreon.com/Haven Homestead. And there you can support the show for as little as a dollar a month. It's a big help to us. And if you support us up to, you know, $10, you get a mug. And at $30 or more per month, you get a t-shirt that has the Haven Homestead logo on it. And we try to bring sustainability, you know, practices and learning how to do these sort of things, information, and help people of all walks of life learn more about sustainability. So please help us continue to do that by heading on over to patreon.com/havenhomestead. This has been another episode of the Haven Homestead podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.